CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. So glad you've joined us, as we always are. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour or so as we get together at this time every weekday afternoon, live radio, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events from a biblical perspective. And what we hear taught in the churches, is it even in the Bible at all? And so if you got a question you'd like to ask us, hey, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. We actually have, when you hear somebody hang up, that's when you want to call right then. And we'll do our very best to get to your question today. Joining me today, and we have a very special lineup. We have with us Pastor Mike McIntosh from Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego, California, a longtime friend. I've known Mike for, gosh, Mike, I think our pet dinosaurs played together or something, but so glad you've taken time out of your busy schedule to be part of the program today. Hi and welcome.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. And I think our dinosaurs did probably butt heads once in a while or swat their tails at each other.
Yeah, it's really a blessing because I remember back when I first started with Calvary Chapel back in the 70s, I remember one of the first pastors' conference I went to was in 79 or 78, and we would all fit in a small living room. And now there's literally hundreds, almost thousands of them. And you know, Mike, I just think it was such a blessing back then to see how God used you in such an amazing way, what God delivered you from when you were about 26 years old. To how God has used your ministry to touch people in probably every part of the world. And I just wanted to say what a blessing you've been.
Thank you. I appreciate that. There's actually 2,250 Calvary Chapels right now with a lineup of people being processed around the world that's exploding in Africa, especially right now. And it's just an amazing thing to see in South America and Central America. Mexico, it's just no longer just the United States.
And so it's amazing how just the expository teaching of God's word is so important. And not just that we're reading up in front the Bible, little known facts about verses, but actually the Holy Spirit causing his word to become alive and go into our heart with relevancy and how it would change us from the inside out. You know, for many years, the church thought, well, you know, if we could just get, and I remember back in the late 60s, Mike, early 70s, that if we could just get these hippies to cut their hair and stuff them in a three-piece suit, they'd be saved and shorn. Well, the problem is you can wear the nicest suit in the world and have the finest haircut and be just as lost as a person with no batteries and a flashlight in a cave. And that's what unfortunately happened. And it wasn't until really we realized that Jesus loves me just as I am. And it's up to God to change us from what we were. And, you know, Mike, seeing how God has changed you, we also have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Welcome, Daryl.
Well, it's great to be with you both, and aloha to everyone out there listening. And, it's good to be on with Behemoth and Leviathan, you dinosaurs, you. And
yeah.
You call me Dino. But anyway.
Yeah, Dino.
You know, people. Time flies, you're having fun.
Yeah, people come up and say, what was it like when the earth was cooling? But that's another whole topic. But anyway, Daryl, I'm glad you're with us. I know you've known Mike McIntosh for many, many years. And, you know, Mike, I remember back, I think your church in San Diego, Horizon, was almost 30,000 people. And then I remember you would do your service and then you would get in your car, speedily get to another church.
Yeah.
And there they would be singing and worshiping. And you had this little thing that would tell when you were on the campus, when you were getting ready to speak. And as soon as the music was over, you'd step up and do that church service as well. And I always thought, wow, talk about a guy that, you know, you heard the old adage, lighting the candle at both ends. You lit the whole thing on fire.
Well, it was a revival that was taking place.
Yes.
And, we'd started at that time, you're talking about six churches. We already had the big one going, and I'd trained up men to go out. And they had at the main campus colored lights, yellow, green, red.
Yellow.
And
yep.
If it was red, I was still at the last place. If it's yellow, I'm on my way. If it's green, I've landed on the campus, and I'm coming to the pulpit. Then finally I turned them over to other guys, and I got my health back, my sanity.
But, you know, that was a window. And, you know, the old adage, strike when the iron's hot. You know, we want to take every advantage we can for the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, Daryl, I know you've known Mike for many years, as I've shared, you know, being in the pastor's conference, working around Raul Reese for the many years that you did as well, to see what God has done, just in just all of what, how God uses us. It's so amazing. We know that it's not us. We know it's God. You know, people have asked the question, well, why was God such a God of miracles in the Bible? He doesn't do miracles today. Well, he does. Mm-hmm. He's in the miracle working business. Most people don't leave their comfort zone to need a miracle. Daryl, you've seen it.
You know, as I look to Mike, he was such a tremendous mentor as a young pastor. I was looking up to Mike McIntosh, to Greg Laurie, to, of course, Chuck Smith. And of course, my pastor was Raul Reese. And, you know, to be young in ministry and to look to these men of God who are preaching and teaching the Word of God and evangelizing and the outreaches, the inreaches, all that was taking place was a tremendous influence of my young heart as a pastor. And then to, you know, then to branch off, then become a senior pastor down the road. Always taking all the insights that they gave us throughout the years of ministry and still to this day. It's such a thrill and a joy to have Mike share and teach at a conference and hear him once again share the, Mike always had the greatest stories, you know, with how God moved in a tremendous way. And now you've got to keep moving by faith, guys. You got to just trust in the Lord. And it's inspiration. It was if I could say motivational too, of course, but it was always from the Word of God, which is really kind of the cornerstone of Calvary Chapel, preaching the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And each of these, wonderful men of God, as they did this, they were great examples to all of us. As, I was probably, that was the first generation. I was in the second generation of pastors. And so, It's been really great, Mike. I love you, man. And you've been a tremendous influence on my life and ministry. And, it's great to be on with you.
Thank you.
You know, it is. And I remember, Mike, you told a story one time talking about what Daryl said, these stories that you have. I remember you were sharing a story at a pastor's conference where you were in Africa and they came out with guns and they were killing all the Christians.
Yeah.
And you just started running as fast as you could. And I remember you said, wow, God, this is how you die. And you were running as fast as you could. And you got to kind of an open area and here's an ambulance. And on the back of the ambulance, there was a Ben Born Again bumper sticker from Greg Laurie in the middle of Africa on the back of that. And you said, oh no, we're going to be just fine.
That was Kampala, Uganda.
And Amin
had, done some horrible things before he left, and he'd take Christians and put them in his basement and dig a hole and put cement up to their heads. And then he'd come down at night with sledgehammers and knock their heads off. And I was in a church speaking there, where terrorists came in, and 600 people at a prayer meeting, and they came in one side and started spraying their machine guns. Everybody went underneath the pews. Not one person died. And the guy in the praise band picked up his trumpet and said, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die praising the Lord. So he started playing his trumpet. And the lead terrorist thought it was the army coming in the other side of the building. And so they all split. And 300 of the Christians went home, 300 stayed and continued praying. And the bad guys came back, took the 300, put them in piles. They crisscrossed them on top of each other in an open field and poured gasoline around them. And just before they lit the whole thing on fire, the Christians, somebody started singing Amazing Grace. And those 300 all started singing it before they went to heaven. And the terrorist soldiers started screaming, covering their ears, put their guns down, got in their jeeps, and drove away and left them alone.
Wow. So, yes, God is still still in the miracle working business, Mike. Now you're getting ready to go on a tour. We're going to go to the phones, but before we do, you're getting ready to go on your border tour. Tell us about it.
No, I just came back from.
You just came back from it. Okay.
Yeah. Franklin Graham had God Loves You.
Yes.
Tour. And he said, would you come and pray for me every day and pray for me before I speak? I have 150 people on the tour. Would you gather them together and pray with them during the day? And I said, of course. So, I came back last year from going around the country trying to get pastors and churches to get into the United States Prayer Force that we would just start praying and praying and praying for America. We're down the tubes. We're almost having the sewer door closed on us. We're so far away from God as a nation. And I was very, very despondent, to be quite honest with you, that there was not much of a response in all the states I went to. And being with Franklin, I sent some pictures to your producer, Ezra. It just fired me back up because in Mexico for 30 years, we had stadiums and arenas full and bull rings. And I was thinking when Franklin was doing this, it reminds me of all those 30 years of in Mexico and across the country doing crusades, that he's still doing it. And he didn't go to all big towns. He went to small towns. He went to one town, Mike, that had a little over 3,000 people called Presidio. And I looked it up, and the high school football field had 500 seats in the stadium. There were 1,500 people that showed up that Saturday afternoon out of a town of 3,000 plus,
wow.
50% of them. I sent a picture to you of a sheriff. And wherever we go, because I've been in law enforcement for 41 years now, I go shake hands and I tell them I understand their job and how hard it is. And they start unloading on me. So every town I'd go up and talk to the guys that were protecting us. And I watched this one sheriff, largest county in Texas. And in that area, they had five sheriffs. And this one, there were two of them on duty at that stadium plus local police. This man, I watched him walk from the bleachers down to the front, watching the crowd. And then he turned and listened as Franklin gave the invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He was the first one to go forward, took his hat off, bowed his head, and prayed in front of that entire audience in uniform, accepting Jesus.
Wow. Wow. Amazing.
Fantastic.
Now, this is kind of a cool thing. The prayer force, we have this little booklet. You can see it.
Yeah. Pray for your government.
Pray for your government. It's got every state in the union and every official that's over everybody in that state. And so one of my granddaughters put it together for me, and we sent it out to the members of the prayer force. And I'd never done this before, but I zeroed in on every town, and we got every official in every town that Franklin went to. And I realized praying for the sheriff of that county brought this sheriff to Jesus Christ. When we pray for our authority, the Lord opens up heaven to them. Second thing I saw that when the prayer force was praying, I'd wait every morning on the Lord. I had nothing that I was going to pray for. And then he'd give it to me, and I'd fill up a page or two. And Franklin would get about 12 lines of pray for this, pray for this. And I noticed he is tired. He'd just come back from, I think, Europe. He's in Poland today. He was in Mexico City for 3 days in a huge outreach there. He was tired. And I started asking people, pray for his strength, pray for his energy level. Pray for him to have fun doing this. And in El Paso, it was standing room only. And the fire marshal said, you cannot have more than 600 people come down at your invitation in front of the stage on the floor. And there's well over 600 that came forward. But as I was standing on the side of the platform, I said, if I were given this message right now, I'd stop right now and I'd give the invitation. And just then Franklin stopped and he gave the invitation 10 minutes shorter than he usually went with that message in the other towns. And the Holy Spirit fell And Franklin said, the fire marshal told me I can't ask any more of you to come forward. But he didn't say anything about you standing up in front of your seat or going over to one of the aisles and standing, and we'll bring you a Bible. Whoosh! More people came and accepted the Lord.
Wow. Wow.
It's the power of prayer. I was watching it happen every day increase. And I look at the pictures from Tucson, for instance. In Tucson, the stadium sat 11,200. That stadium was filled. The field was filled. There were 500 counselors, but so many came forward, there was no room for all the people to come forward with the counselors. It was an amazing thing to see. I got a picture from a friend in traffic in Tucson trying to get to the stadium. And he said, Mike, we're backed up more than 2 miles and the parking lot's full. When people pray, God answers. And when people evangelize, he pours out his Holy Ghost. It's the only hope America has. More people are looking for the return of Donald Trump than they are of Jesus Christ. And when we get our eyes in the church on the Lord Jesus Christ and his power, and we start opening up to him, he's going to pour out his blessings.
Now, Mike, I want to go to the phones, but before I do, how can we become part of what you're doing there? Is there some address? Can we just write Mike McIntosh? Or how do we become part of the prayer team?
It's MikeMcIntosh.com. And all they have to do is their email. Nobody will ever ask them for money, but two or three times a week, they'll get an email with specific things to pray about in our country and people and situations. Like we have one right now that we will talk about in a little bit about somebody very important to the Lord that they're trying to get him and his Bible out of Washington, D.C. And I know that power of God's prayer could overturn what the darkness is trying to do to him. So just write me, Mike McIntosh. I have no staff or budget or I'm not going to ask for money. It's just me and maybe a granddaughter or two that jump in and say, I'll do that for you, Papa. MikeMcIntosh.com, and you'll get free books. There'll be PDF or ebooks on prayer, special books on prayers. One of them is Chuck Smith's book. You'll get devotionals that I'll send you, 30-day devotionals. And things to build you up spiritually, that the fire will come back of why the church is silent when they're operating on boys and girls to change their sex. And there's not a voice in the world speaking out, like you said about Hamas and Israel. Hamas started that war. I know people that are over there, and we couldn't say on air what they did to those babies before they chopped their heads off, or to those old ladies to humiliate them. It was wicked, wicked, wicked. But the church, Mike, is lethargic. It's lethargic. And it's not responding.
Right. And, you know, you hear all this, Israel needs the ceasefire, ceasefire. I'm so sick of hearing it. And not one call upon Hamas to surrender. Not one. Hamas started the war. The Palestinians voted Hamas in as their government. And there's not one call for Hamas to surrender. That shows you how corrupt the political parties are, shows you how corrupt the United Nations is. Okay, to the phone we go. We have David on the line, Wyoming. Hi, welcome.
How are you doing today?
Good. How may we help?
Good, good. Yeah, I had a question. Jesus is coming back for his own.
Yes.
Those being the believers and whatnot. That's what I was born to think, and I still do believe with all my heart God is good. Anyhow, last week, I believe I've been listening for a long time to Every Man an Answer. Last week, I think I heard somebody say that either the second coming and the rapture were two different things. And I was just wondering I've always been brought up to, it was the same. Jesus is coming back for his own. That's the rapture. So I was wondering if I could get some clarification on that.
Well, yes, of course. The second coming of Christ is 3.5 years after the abomination which makes desolate. In the book of Revelation, every eye will see him. However, the rapture of the church is different. This is where Jesus said, behold, I come as a thief, as in the days of Noah were. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be, Matthew chapter 24. And we find that it was a party time before a global world judgment. Right now, we have party time facing a global world judgment called the tribulation period. I believe Jesus is going to take his church home. The world's going to get what they always wanted, a world without God. As the world slowly kills itself off, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. This is when the second coming of Christ is. Daryl, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, we have, just to give you the timeline of things, there'll be the rapture of the church, which could happen even today. We don't know, but Jesus says no man knows the day or the hour, so it can happen at any time. It's called the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. He can come at any time. And then goes the 7 years of tribulation after the rapture, and that's found in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. In chapter 19, we have the second return of Jesus Christ. In fact, from the abomination of desolation, Revelation 13, it'll be exactly the midway point of the tribulation period. That's 3.5 years in. Then it'll be exactly 1,260 days to the second return of Christ, because the Bible declares it in the book of Revelation. It'll be exactly to the day. So it doesn't fulfill the doctrine of the imminent return. That's a surprise. That'll be the rapture. He can come at any moment in time. But we do know that the second coming will happen 1,260 days after the abomination that makes desolate. That is where people will be worshiping the Antichrist, giving their allegiance to the Antichrist by taking the mark of the beast, 666, on the right hand or on their forehead. So this is the difference. Now, it's important to realize the tribulation period, the 7 years, is a time of God's wrath being poured out against an ungodly and Christ-rejecting world. So this will take place. And the Bible declares in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Paul writes about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he tells us about the rapture, and then he says, therefore comfort one another with these words. It is very comforting for us to know that the Lord is going to be taking us home before the wrath of God is poured out. This is exactly what happened with Enoch before the flood of Noah's day. Enoch was raptured out, a type of the church. And then God preserved Noah through the flood, as he's going to preserve the Jewish people through the Great Tribulation period. He's going to seal 144,000 Jews who are going to be preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ during that tribulation period. So these are the episodes of what's going to take place. This scenario, the last day scenario, the rapture first, 7 years tribulation, the return of Jesus Christ, and then we will return with the Lord. And then the Bible says Jesus will establish a 1,000-year reign on earth. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. So this is what happens. Rapture, 7 years of tribulation, then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And after that's done, then we're going to head off to the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And forever and ever, we're going to be with the Lord. So anyway, I'll hand it back to you, Mike.
Mike McIntosh, do you have any last thoughts?
I forgot to write the caller's name. What's his name?
Oh, it's David.
Oh, David.
Just wondering the difference between the rapture and the second coming.
David, I want to ask you a question. Did you understand anything that was just said to you?
I sure did.
Okay. Yep. That helped you pretty much. That was like getting a whole semester or two of college right there. So I didn't want to burden you down with it. But here's what I took away from Mike and from Daryl. Because it's a new thought to you, the devil's going to try to steal it from you. And the beauty of the taking up of the church is that God, as you can see quite well, anybody can see, that God is separating sheep from goats right now. And the wicked and the evil are getting more wicked and more evil. As a father, I'm going to rescue my children out of a burning house or disaster that's taking place. He's going to remove his kids, and now he has every right to judge. But even in that tribulation period, he's going to forgive some people if they'll come to him. And that might be your mom and dad or your sister, your cousin. You've told them about the Lord. You're disappearing, and they say, well, hold it. And so God's got a remnant that he's going to save and love. And now that you and I and Mike and Daryl know this, we need to be warning people. Evacuation planet Earth is coming very, very soon. And it could be any time, literally.
Amen. So we want to be about our Father's business. David, I hope that helps.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay on the line if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that. We'll go to Austin in Nevada. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, my question. I was hit with repentance is a work recently, and by a family member, and then I've been considering for the entire week everything around that, and then even considering that my proclamation of Jesus is Lord is a work, and I'm considering that I believed on my own, you know, and I'm sitting here with a struggle, and I just was hoping maybe you could shed some light on the separation of the works and the faith, and if these things can be considered works.
Well, even if they are considered works, it's okay, and here why. They came to Jesus and said, what work must we do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? He said, this is the work that you must do. Believe that the Father has sent me. So there, Jesus actually did call it a work. It's a conscious act of faith, engaging the creator of the universe, thanking him for what he did for us on the cross. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, first thing I thought of was looking in Galatians 5:19, it talks to us about the works of our flesh, and it names them. That means that our flesh, our carnal being, is always producing like a factory. Then you go to the 20th verse, the 21st verse, and it tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and that's singular. And when they translated from the Greek to the English, they didn't have a word that showed the depth of love that Jesus had brought to the earth. And that's when they came up with the word agape, which is a divine sacrificial love that only God can give us. So I look at myself, like you just said, for you, am I doing a work that I'm going to get in trouble for? Well, my flesh makes works. My spirit makes love and things that will be eternally lasting. So if your motive is that of loving your neighbor as yourself, the things that you're doing, they're blessed.
Amen. We're coming up on a break, everyone. We'll have more on this right when we come back. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
See, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn how you can be a part of sharing heartbeats and shaping hearts for Christ, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Mike McIntosh, Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And when we went to the break, we were speaking with Austin about some confusion, you know, and really that sometimes we view that, well, people have said, well, to confess your sins is a work. And so therefore it's by grace we're saved. So, you know, is that a work? Well, no. In fact, the Bible says it's an action that we have to take. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. That means put all your faith, hope, and trust in. And, you know, Mike, you were saying, and I want to let you finish up there, and then Daryl, your thoughts.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Oh, okay. You know, when we talk about repentance, it's the first thing that you do repent of is your unbelief. You go from unbelief to belief. You were unbelieving in Jesus Christ. Now you're believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the one who went to the cross for your sins and has died for you, shed his blood for you. And now you've come to faith in him as your Lord and your Savior. And then you're born again of the Holy Spirit. So it's repentance is, first of all, it's going from unbelief to belief. And then we're also called to repent of living for a sinful life to start living for the Savior's life. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit, who's holy. He's going to start separating you from the ways of this world, the ways of the flesh, the ways of sinful practices. We're not going to be perfected until we reach heaven, but we're being separated by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit through the Jesus Christ, which we want to follow and so forth. So when we talk about repentance, John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the first thing he said in his public ministry, the beginning thereof. And then, of course, Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent from this perverse generation. So we do need to repent. It's that step of faith, coming to faith in Christ. You know, we get to Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of works that we can perform. In other words, you can't pay your way into heaven. You can't religiously get to heaven where you just, I did so many times at church, so I deserve to go to heaven. I did all these good works, I should go to heaven. Because we don't want to ever denigrate the blood atonement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us through his blood atonement. He atoned for our sins by his precious, holy, and righteous blood. And that's how we are saved. Once we come to that place of faith, now we start to live for him, and we produce, hopefully, good works. Amen. We'll be changed. So, Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. I hope that answers it for you, Austin. Again, I heard somebody say one time, well, I didn't do anything to get salvation, so there's nothing I can do to get rid of salvation. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must put all our faith, hope, and trust in him. So, in fact, we do something. The work that we must do is to believe that the Father has sent him. Austin, I hope that helps.
Yes, excellent. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Stay in line, Austin. If you like, send you some books, some DVDs. Let's go to Dusty, Adele, Iowa. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Just want to start by saying I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I've been listening to you guys for several years. So I personally like trying to do apologetics. I aspire to do it. Maybe you guys do someday, but I've really done a lot of research about, you know, the scientific discoveries, the confirm the Bible, and there's so many of them. And I've been getting into like the scientific hypotheses. I read Stephen Meyer's Return of the God Hypothesis, and I know he has a lot of good points, but he believes in an old earth. And it's a little difficult for me because there's a lot of good stuff he says, but I know the biblically accurate timeline is like 5,000-6,000 years. And we see that even with the Grand Canyon. I mean, all the geological strata, basically, you see it like it looks like waves, and there's no way that it could just dry as sandstone, limestone, and silt dry that fast with 13,000 feet of layers above it. It had to have been deposited soon. And there's so many things like that. But so I remember you talking about the second law of thermodynamics thing, like if the universe really is billions of years old, the sun would have been so large, you know.
The law of diminishing return, yes. And yeah, if you go back the billions of years they say the Earth is old, you got the diameter of the sun up by Jupiter. The moon moves a couple inches away from the Earth every year. If you go back the millions of years they need for evolution, you got the moon orbiting at 12 foot above the Earth. It just can't be. So there's a lot of things. Now, real quick, And then, Mike, your thoughts on this. The first miracle God did, he created the heavens and the earth. I think that's really amazing in all of the things we see. Something else I think is important. The first miracle that Jesus did on this earth is interesting as well, because that's where he turned the water to wine. He took something new and made it appear to be old. And I believe that very possibly in that first miracle that Jesus did, so many people get hung up, was the wine alcoholic or wasn't it? According to the guess, it probably was. You saved the best for last, they said. But the point is that I believe that God created the earth fully mature. And just as he changed the water to wine, he made something new, old, what's needed for aging wine. I believe very possibly he could have created this earth fully mature. Now, we know during the flood, this world went through a lot of very catastrophic changes. The continental drift, we remember a guy in the Bible named Peleg, is where the earth broke apart. I don't know what that all entailed, but it must have been pretty serious because it mentions it in the Bible. Mike, your thoughts?
I'm just soaking up what you just said. I want to ask you a question, Dusty. Are you there?
Yep.
Let me ask you this. What is the latest discovery that you've personally come across on that verifies your love to study these things? Like in Israel, have they discovered something recently that stuck out to you?
For instance, you can look this up on YouTube. This guy is actually an archaeologist. They recently discovered Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's actually right where the Bible says it would be. It's kind of on the southeast side of the Dead Sea. And they actually find these balls of sulfur that are in the early Bronze period, which dates back to the time Lot lived. And, wow. You know, bones warped by heat, pottery warped by heat, and just an entire ash layer over Baba Draw and Numera, which are modern day, Gomorrah and Sodom, and just covers all that area. And they find all these sulfur balls that are like 97% pure sulfur, which is exactly what the Bible says. God rained down sulfur from the heavens. And the recent thing I found is this. We know Lot, he escaped and he lived in a place called Zoar. And they recently discovered Zoar, and they found a cave there where Lot had lived, and even inscriptions of Lot's name and stuff. And just all these findings in Israel are just confirming everything. And I'm fascinated by all of it.
Okay, let me ask you one more question. How old are you?
32.
Okay, here's why I'm asking that. You've got a personable approach to this. A lot of guys have a head approach to it, and you're needed in the body of Christ. God's given you a mind that can enjoy these things and think these things out. You're scientific in your thinking, mathematical. Most people aren't. It's a gift from God. You sound like you have a tender heart, which tells me that you know the Lord and you're probably reading your Bible. But I want to encourage you with this. Because you could answer that first question I asked about what's the latest thing, it shows you really do care about these things. So you're looking all the way back and you're looking all the way forward. And at 32 years old, if the Lord were to tarry, you're going to be really, really bombarded by people that want the answers to prove these things, and the schools aren't teaching them. So realize this is a time of training for you. This is a time for you to truly humble yourself inside of the Lord and ask him to give you beyond your capacities to see and discover. Now, I've always liked the thought about Sodom and Gomorrah, but I haven't followed recently that they've discovered some of these things, and I'm going to go start researching that. So I want to encourage you, whatever you do, don't get so trapped into what your intellect enjoys that you lose sight of people. Because what happened was people lost sight of God in those areas and they died for eternity. And you have a gift that can win people to Jesus into God's eternity. Mike?
Amen. Daryl, any last thoughts?
Well, yeah, I'll just share this, and that was great encouragement for you, Dusty, to be involved, take the information and the education you're getting from the Lord and put it to work in the kingdom of God by making disciples and maybe starting a class on creationism and so forth. And it's a great asset to the body of Christ. But Dusty, as we look to the scriptures and God's great creation, I really believe you mentioned one particular author said he believes in old earth. I think the author we need to look at is Jesus. He says in Matthew 19, he was questioned about divorce, and he says this in 19:4. He answered and said to them, the religious leaders, says, "Have you not read that who made them at the beginning? Made them male and female." Then he goes on to discuss marriage and divorce. But Jesus says the beginning is when God created Adam and Eve. That is the beginning. And if we go back in a timeline, we discover from Adam living 930 years to where we're at today, we're well into the 6,000 years. And so it can't be that the beginning was, you know, old earth, millions of billions of years old, but rather it's 6,000 years old. As we look to the timeline, and God was very specific throughout the Old Testament to let us know how long people lived, what children they had, how long they lived, so on and so forth. For example, when Noah was alive, when Adam was alive, Lamech was alive, which is Noah's dad. And so he was alive for, I think about 60 years or so while Adam was alive. So the transference of information from the Garden of Eden to Noah was easily given over. And then you have also Abraham. He was 50 years outside of Shem, who was one of the sons of Noah. So that information was easily given over because Terah was alive during that time period, which is Abraham's dad. So we have this transfer of information easily assimilated to others as we look to the history of humanity and when God created us. And God was very specific. He's into the details so that we will not fall prey to old earth or fall prey to gap theories or fall prey to evolution, of course. And he's a wonderful God who cares about us deeply and richly. And he's given us the whole story, the whole history of humanity. God bless you, Dusty. Stay strong.
Yeah. Right? And Jesus quoted more from the book of Genesis than any other book, Old Testament book, which gives it great, great credibility. So I hope that helps, Dusty.
Yep, definitely does. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, well, we're here for you whenever you need to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you and something that they throw at you that's a stumper or whatever. But again, I believe God created the earth fully formed. And again, it went through a cataclysmic change in the flood. The Bible says the wells of the deep broke open. Now, what in the world does that mean? I don't know, but it's where it was catastrophic, I believe. So, Dusty, stay in line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs, and let's go to Paul, Gillette, Wyoming. Hi, welcome.
Thank you, brothers. I want to brag about our God to everybody's ears, whoever is listening to your program. Thank you and bless you, God, brothers, for praying and lifting people like me and my family in prayers. So I wanted to call in order to update and praise God for his prompt response regarding my son, Daniel. You were praying and I was praying and many yes. other people were praying for him. So we were able to find him. So down south in California, he didn't know where he locked up his car because he was not aware of where he was. So his car, we didn't know where his car was and he lost his phone. Well, however, we were praying, you were praying. And so the Lord has provided one person who called me this morning and told me, hey, we found the car with Wyoming license plates, and they described that's exactly my son's car, and they told me where it's parked, and his phone is, we're pretty sure, right in the car because it pings, it shows location right where the car is. So thank God he has found, you know, our son. He called me a few minutes ago from the hospital asking me for forgiveness and asking God for forgiveness. We prayed with him. So our Lord is really alive, and he answers prayers. So I just wanted to express my gratitude to what you do and that we all should – we're all one family, and the Lord, our Lord is alive. So
amen.
Is your son in the hospital in Southern California?
Yes, he's in Anaheim Community Hospital. So
would you like me to go see him?
Yeah, I would greatly appreciate that.
What's his name?
His name is Daniel.
Daniel, what's his last name?
Can you? Is there any way I could?
Yeah, we'll put you on. Let us. You can tell one of the operators there, Paul, all the information, and then I know that either Mike or Mike's got a lot of friends that live in the Anaheim area that would be glad to go over and just pay a visit to him. But you know, Paul, I want to say thank you. You know, God sees it all. Remember, he healed 10 lepers and only one came back and said, thank you. And Jesus, where are the other nine? He noticed that they didn't come back and say thank you. So I just want you to know that God rejoices when someone says thank you for what he's done. And so, Paul, may the Lord just give you and continue to give you the right words to say to your son and those that will come and visit him. And Paul, I just want to say I'm so happy your lost son is found. That's always a good feeling. That's what the prodigal son was all about as well, you know?
My prayer request is that as we plan to take a drive from here to there to get him out from there and bring him, the Lord has provided a person who has been in his place of life, and he's running a center that helps people like him here in Wyoming. So we are going to pick him up from there and drive him to another place where the Lord will work in with him and on him, and just our prayer that the Lord would restore his soul, mind, and body, and his family. And he asked us to pray for his wife and for union, because he served her divorce notice, and now he's really sorry for that.
Yeah. Well, let's pray. Father, we just pray that you undo the foolish things that we've all done. And Lord, that you would intervene in Paul's life as a father to be able to minister to his son. Lord, we pray for his son that, Lord, you'll do a brand new work in his life. You know, your word says that you'll restore the years the cankerworm has eaten. And so I just pray that you do a miracle here. Bless Paul in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, stay on the line. I want to get that information from you, and then I will get it to Mike McIntosh, who in turn will get it to one of his fellow pastors there that can go over and pray for him. So, Paul, stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Thank you, brothers. God bless you.
Blessings to you, too. Let's go to Chuck, Oregon. Hi, Will.
Yes, hello. I was touched by the call yesterday from a man named Jeff, and he was under heavy condemnation and guilt. And he had, suffered mental illness for some years. And I can really relate to that, because I also went in and out of mental wards for 7 years, and I was under tremendous guilt. And early on, I read about the armor of God, and I decided that I needed to have that armor, because I knew my problem was with forces of darkness, even though doctors told me I was schizophrenic. And so I began studying the Bible. And I studied and I studied and I memorized and I hid promises and I read like Pilgrim's Progress and John Bunyan's other book, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. And I noticed that Bunyan also went through a time of heavy guilt and condemnation when the devil kept accusing him of committing the unpardonable sin. Mm-hmm. Several years, and finally Bunyan overcame it, and he overcame it by the word of God. And I also overcame that tremendous guilt and through knowledge of God and through the Bible and the precious promises, And so putting on the armor of God is what I would recommend to Jeff, the caller yesterday. And
yes. And Mike, you know, we all go through things, and your thoughts, because I know not only we've all gone through it, you've gone through it, we've all experienced it.
I'd like to ask, Chuck, what town are you from in Oregon?
Klamath Falls.
I was born and raised in Portland, so I know the atmosphere there is about 2 to 3% Christian, highly influenced with drugs in Oregon, as you well know, and alcohol. And alcoholism affected my family and my dad. And it's just a dark area. Oregon and Washington have spiritual issues. The church is not welcome very much by the people. They're keeping to themselves. I had schizophrenia. I had brain damage from a bad trip on LSD. For 2 years, the doctors worked with me to get me able to talk. I couldn't carry on conversations. I wasn't able to stay with my wife. I lost my children, lost my sanity. And then I met Jesus Christ. And Chuck Smith and the elders at Calvary Chapel laid hands on me in Costa Mesa, California, where I had moved down to California. And I was instantly healed after 2 years of doctors working with me. And from that day into this very hour, I've never been the same person, like you said, put on the whole armor of God. My wife saw a change. She accepted Jesus. My mom saw a complete change, and at 60 years old, she accepted Jesus. Sandy's mom and dad saw both of us change, and they accepted Jesus. And I just want to encourage you. God has given you a gift, and I know what insanity's like, and most people don't. Thank him every day that he has healed you of this, and keep giving the message for people to know about the whole armor of God, because the first piece of armor is putting on the helmet of salvation, protecting your head and your mind from the enemy. And I want to thank you for your testimony, because in Revelation it tells us that the Christians, the saints, overcome the devil by three things. The first thing is the blood of the Lamb. The second thing is the word of their testimony. And the third thing is they love not their lives unto death. So thank you for telling thousands of people right now on this radio network that God healed you. And he's going to honor you for this, and he's going to open the door for you to help heal a lot of people. Don't be afraid to pray with them. Don't be afraid to invite yourself into a county mental health on Sundays. I used to go preach on Sunday mornings. I learned how to preach, basically, in mental hospitals and youth detention centers. And so thank you.
Amen. Daryl, any last thoughts there?
No, that was a marvelous, miraculous story of God's hand and touch of healing, not only upon Chuck's life, but upon Mike's life, of course. And I think it's so vitally important to keep sharing with people and encouraging them, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter how out of it they are, that we would reach them with the love of Jesus. And I tell you what, the power of God is amazing. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things right now, we just want to stand up and give him a standing ovation for what he's done and is doing and will do.
Yes.
Amen. It's so important. Well, Chuck, thank you so much for the encouragement again. And that whole armor of God, so important in every aspect of our life. You know, when we realize we're in a real, genuine battle, and I'm amazed how many Christians go into that battle completely not dressed properly for the battle. They don't have their helmet of salvation on. They forget who they are. And because of that, they believe the lies of the devil that says, well, no, you got to get stoned to be loved. You got to get stoned to even like yourself. See, not addressing the real problem that oftentimes confronts everybody. So Chuck's the online, sending you out some books, some DVDs as we send out to everybody. And, you know, real quick, we've only got a few minutes left. You know, Mike, can you tell us again how we can get a hold of you? Can you tell us how to get a hold of you to be part of your prayer team?
Yes, it's MikeMcIntosh.com. And there's just a form you fill out with your email address. And then in the last week of October, we're going to Washington, D.C. Depending on the number of people, we'll be in several hotels of an international chain that want to help us to get people to come, actually, and give us great prices. And they understand what we're going to be doing. We'd like you to be a part of that, but we're not going to make it public. It's only for people that belong to the prayer force. And we're going to intercede. We're going to meet with Congress and senators and officials and lay hands on them and pray for them. It's not a political thing. Don't want anything to do with that. But we're going to just worship the Lord 24 hours a day in shifts around Washington, D.C., and let the darkness be driven away that we can have a clear shot at a fair election.
So, yeah, great things. And I believe we're about out of time. Are we out of time? Does this happen? I think it happens about this time every day. For Debbie, Charles, Linda, the rest, please stay online and bounce back tomorrow, and we'll put you on very first thing. Mike, thanks so much for being part of the program. Daryl, thank you.
Thank you.
For being part of the program as well. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.